Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
ago, I had 3-9 over in Japan.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
My wife told you to. It was pathetic.
Really? Well, we're going to...
It only went about a minute and a half.
2-12 is the video.
Jackie, the only
person who I heard that Frank refused to train a vet. That was kind of funny. But, I mean, he looks like he's been working out. Oh! Got him. Oh, that's the weakest pig I've ever seen. Actually, I was going to mention that to you. There's a fight for you down in Sao Paulo, Brazil. If you want to cut some weight and get down to bantamweight, Saturday, you can fight Giovanni Andrade, who's going up against Question Mark right now. And he's 59-11 with 48 knockouts, so no surprise he can't have an opponent for him.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, that Question Mark really tough guy.
That means somebody from the crowd has been a volunteer.
I was just thinking about this. We were talking about Tom Morrison. And like I said, I should have had a meet up. I can't hurt me to get it. But I'm going to forget. So, hey, Tom, you know, I have some pretty fights, you know, some wins, some losses. real Tommy Gunn versus Eugene Kane fight.
Right.
Well, this guy's like waves, you know, for whatever reason, he, you know, wasn't going to go through this fight, like, literally the night of the fight. A bunch of people have crammed in, you know, to see Tommy Morrison, it's like, I think it was like in his hometown or whatever, and all of a sudden, they literally call a guy out of sports. Well, the guy was a heavyweight fighter, obviously he wasn't on Morrison's level, but he didn't come back that he was supposed to fight, and his opponent didn't show up, so like, well, Jeremy had the money, Jeremy had the physical, so don't blow up. He pulled the guy out of the audience, and Chris Morrison knocked him out, so like, two or three rounds. Then the guy's doing his, like, quick foot interview, and he's like, the only thing is keepers, he gets hard. Keepers. Wow. You couldn't see, it was just an honor to be under keepers.
Well, actually, we did that at Norwich a couple times. A couple of Eastern kids came out of the crowd, and it was the funniest fight I've ever seen because they were punching so fast, and just not enough power behind them, you know?
Yeah.
It was hilarious to watch, you know, because they were friends, you know, so they didn't want to really hurt each other, but they were still boxing, technically. And, you know, we had the headgear and all that fancy stuff, and it was a jury-rigged ring and all that, so, I mean, we probably shouldn't even just be boxing in the first place, never mind letting people out of the audience, but it only happened once, so we let it slide. And the kids never even were at a practice, so they had no business being in the ring in the first place. But they just kind of flabbergasted me because it was like, wow, where did this go?
Yep.
It was awesome.
I'm proud of it now. I'm considering doing something. You're going to be very proud of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Ready for this? What?
Sitting?
No. Yeah, I'm sitting.
Donating my brain science. It's obviously not a human brain I have in my head. But,
so you're not going to get cryogenically frozen then?
Well, I was reading the next Daily News today. They were doing a big article on, you know, brain injury. One guy, a couple players that had played for the Philadelphia Eagles at different junctures. Another one was Sam Beaton, relatively well known, and Andre Brothers. They both, years ago, used up concussions and repeated violent blows to the head, both in different circumstances, but the new tragedy involved their lives in the age. The one offensive lineman developed into real heavy opioid addiction, and then saved the Andre Brothers. Suicide, and then when they did the test on Andre Brothers, they said, yeah, for a 50-year-old man, he had, the brain of, say, like, an 80-year-old man.
Oh, yeah, same was said about Benoit there, wasn't it?
Yeah, Chris Benoit, sure, absolutely. Same thing with him. And the reason that they have a big article today was the one guy that he's actually heading up it's part of Harvard, Medical Center. He played football for Harvard, and he had joined the WWE about 7 or 8 years ago, and he's only been wrestling about a year, and he had a violent concussion that actually ended his wrestling career. So now, after the Chris Benoit tragedy, and the tragedy of Andre Waters and the other players, he's running this program with some well-known doctors, whether it's athletes, had concussions that donating their brain and doing events. You know, I love this. You got that there now. Like, I was reading the list of today that was like five wrestlers, like Rob Van Dam and a few other guys.
So, are you trying to tell us how he's been hitting the head too much? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, what's doing is, like, a lot of these people, they say, you know, when I pass away, I'm going to donate my brain to this, you know, institution. Come on, these are some guys, like, saying, like, they're. Hopefully these guys will be living for a while. I mean, if you go to like research facilities, like, Jesus Christ, will this guy die all of a sudden? Like, get a hold of that brain? But there was only one doctor that was, and I don't have the paper in front of me, but I didn't recognize the name of this person. I was like, Termite something? I was like, I this guy.
Termite.
It was like, that's 10 or 12 football players. Got five hockey players, a soccer player in there, which I heard statistically had more more brain damage than any other sport in the world.
Well, I heard it. I think I said this before, but the most dangerous sport is supposedly fishing.
Probably. you old javelin. Here's my rationale on boxing versus soccer. Like, I talked to a lot of you, like, the soccer moms and everything. Like, oh, we got a little soccer practice. And I'm like, well, I wasn't any good soccer. I sucked. I was playing all the teams at 2-0. And some bigger kid on another team. And, like, they were kind of, like, pushing our guys around. So I went over, like, punched them in the mouth.
You ended up a boxer. No way.
This is me in sports, right? My whole career in the sporting world, I started off in soccer. And was using this one game, I punched that nosy player in the face. And I didn't play sports for a while, but I went to a little league game one time, and like one team was playing in the game they were winning, punched me in the mouth. Now, here I played football, my first game, I got ejected for punching in a nosy player. And shit, if I could skate, I would have been a hell of a hockey player. I never played any kind of basketball, but we were playing a backyard basketball game one time, and then players, he was obviously much more talented than me. He was legit, dribbling the ball all around. He said, yeah, he could fit in the gun. Stop that fancy dribble at age.
I've had very few fights growing up in sports. But, actually, most times when I got in a fight in a sport, it was like a pickup game of football or something. That's when I would get in my fights. Or in the gym, I got in a floor hockey fight. One time, I actually had to get stitches in my eye because I got checked up into a doorway, and I turned around and just slugged the kid. And the teacher was just sitting there reading the newspaper, and didn't see any of it. That was great. And then there was one time when I was in a sectional wrestling match, I kneed a kid in the face after he punched me in the nuts. So the ref took points off of each of us. So it was like an eye for an eye type of thing, and I got away with it. But
I was actually talking to my mom today. One of my little cousins was having like just a short day. Never in the first grade, I don't know. And I was talking to my mom. I don't know if she was today. It was here when I was in grade school. They were doing a big tug of war. And the other team had like 10 guys, and we only had like 6. And we're trying to grab like 8 more guys on our team. We're home on the ropes. And these guys just blanked, and we all fell, and they broke through the line, and we lost. I'm like, well,
below minimum weight? Is it really the minimum weight?
Well,
Friday, tomorrow night. Big fight.
I don't understand why they do this time, because they'll have different organizations called weekly, like different names.
Yeah.
I know, like, one has Super Bowl week and the other is called the Super Welterweight. Well, I know the latest one is called the Strawweight, which is 105. Then it's going to be another name for the Gallweight. I don't know what I'm thinking.
What's Paperweight? There is Paperweight somewhere, isn't there?
Not that I know of.
I've heard of it.
I thought you were making that as a joke.
No, there is a Paperweight somewhere. I've heard of it. I've definitely heard of Paperweight.
Yeah, Paperweight. That's the thing you put on your chest all
the time. I swear there's a weight, though. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But anyway, over in Helsinki, Finland, on Saturday, there's a very good card. Go figure. It's only on Hungary Sport 1, Germany ARD, and United Kingdom's Satanta. Oh, and also Australia main event, if you like that kind of thing. I don't know if you have a massive satellite in front of your house where you can get those channels. Or if you can tap into the online TV. I know that, I don't know about Hungary Sport, but Satanta, they usually show that kind of stuff on that MMA-TV.net that I get all my cool martial arts videos from. They usually show the big fights over there. But we have a big heavyweight fight going on. No joke on the big. Rosalind Chagaev, 25-0 with 17 knockouts, is fighting for the WBA World Heavyweight title against the giant Nikolai Valuev. 15-1 with 34 knockouts.
And this is the rematch.
Yep.
And Chagaev is the only man to beat Valuev. He's beaten by unanimous decision, I guess that was 2 years ago. And then I don't think Chagaev fought since. Oh, no, he fought, I think, one time. He's been having, like, they were set to fight again, and he, like, broke his ankle or something. So, like, unbelievable, but bad luck, you know, injuries. Every time she got it, we bumped it over again. Ready to fight again? Nope, she got it and down again.
And we have, I have quite a good undercard here. A lot of different interesting fights, different weights. A couple of 8-round heavyweight fights, light welterweight fight, 2 welterweight fights under the main event that look good. We have that light welterweight, a 12-rounder, Giuseppe Lori, 47-6 with 28 knockouts, lost his last fight. He's fighting Juho Taupola, who's 22-5 with 9 knockouts. And this is for the EBU light welterweight title. And then we have a couple undefeated guys. Somebody's always got to go. One guy's got a tie, Leonard Bundu. 18-0 with 6 knockouts and the 1 draw versus Frank Schiavone. This is a welterweight 12-rounder. And Schiavone is 17-0 with 6 knockouts. So both get 6 knockouts. And losses. It's going to be interesting. And then we have a 10-round welterweight fight. Female fight. For the WBA female welterweight title and the WBC female welterweight title. Cecilia Brekus, 11-0, 2 knockouts, and versus Amy Buratovac, 6-2, all 6 wins by knockout. And her first, looks like early on was the first 2 losses, she won her last 3, so maybe she's learned. I don't know if it was now. We'll see. Anyway, there's also a couple good heavyweight fights on there. If you want to get the whole card, go on to boxrec.com. Lamont Brewster is fighting over there. Allie
Much of the downside of his career.
rear end, which was all beat him in submission, five rounds. So, and I said this was about a year ago when I went to that Cintron Margarito fight in Atlantic City, that beating was so severe. Now, we don't know if Margarito had beatable hand wraps or not, but that beating was so severe. That was something that really could affect Cintron physically and psychologically. And the last fight really showed that it did. And like you said, Cintron, the guy right now, is kind of like getting over this particular fight plan. Cintron's still got a 31-5 game out there. He's still 32 on draw with 27 knockouts. He'll be getting beat up on the road tonight. And a lot of people think he's going to try, but he's still a very dangerous puncher. That is going to be tall order for anybody. I mean, being well on Cintron, he should put on some fireworks.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just gonna try to get through this card and then get Danny on the phone. But you smack guy from here, right?
Oh,
fighting
two, sure.
10 rounder.
He's a friend of mine. He's funny.
27-2-2. His only two losses come by knockout, so he comes to fight, obviously. And he's got 16 knockouts of his own, and he's on a little winning streak. Four in a row. Your fight there in Dorchester at the Armory. Grew up right,
oh, great.
I grew up right around the corner there, so I saw you wipe the mat with Charles Wade there. That was nice.
Yeah,
definitely. So what was that like fighting in front of a lot of hometown fans and fellow Irish folk there and heavily Irish neighborhood too?
What happened was is I ended up staying in the locker room. I didn't even come out to watch any of the fight because I didn't want people to get in my mind. I was worried about who was there and stuff like that, so I stayed in the locker room. So when I actually came out to the fight and I saw everybody that was there for me, it was a great feeling. I couldn't believe it. Everyone was standing up, cheering, and when the ring announcer announced my name, I couldn't even hear what he was saying because they were so loud.
Yeah, that was interesting because I've never been inside that building, but I grew up right around the corner, literally next to over. If you go under that little bridge there and take a left, you can't take a left because it's one way. But that was my street, and if you look right over the tracks from my house, you can see the building. But I've never been in there. And it's a great place for a boxing match. I'll tell you, there's a lot of good standing room for people.
It was a nice venue. A lot of people came. The only downside I heard to it was that the line to get a beer was pretty crazy. That's what all my friends told me.
I didn't have to go through that. My buddy went and got me one at one point. I was impressed with the fight anyway, but it's funny. We had Tony was asking. We have a co-host here. Tony hasn't introduced himself yet there. But,
hey, Danny, this is Richard Philbrook. I'm his Philadelphia connection down here. And the one question I was going to ask you, my group, Richard, was moving down here. And when you sent me an email today, I saw you were an alternate in the 2008 Olympics team. And a past guest of ours was also an alternate in the 2008 Olympics team, Andy Garcia. Well, I guess you guys are on the same way, so I'll be asking if you could afford each other the amateurs.
Yes. What happened was is he was the alternate first, because he actually beat me and got the Olympic trials. And then I don't know what happened. He ended up turning pro, so I got the spot as the alternate. So instead of turning pro, I just took the chip to finishing. Because I fought once at the Olympic trial, and I lost by a few points to him.
That's okay, because when we were talking to David, you know, I'm looking at your record now, and I saw you at the Pro in September, which is obviously at the Olympics at and Davey, I even asked him, your location, because being in Philadelphia, I was following a lot of the local kids that were, making strides, Danny Garcia being one of them, and you read about it in the paper every Tuesday, they have a huge boxing column in the one Philadelphia paper. And then I saw he had gotten, eliminated, and he had gone more promotion. He was just jumping on it. And the one question I had, and I'm going to, ask you, you were there at the Olympics. What do you think about the Olympic scoring? How can we improve, the Olympic boxing overall? Not just for the United States, but overall, to make it a more fan-friendly sport to watch?
That's a really difficult question. When it comes to anything, that there's no clear-cut winner. Like, if you win a race and you come in first, you win, and everyone knows that. But, when it comes to a sport where you're going to count punches, and, it's a discretion of who's watching, and, there's just a lot of things to go into. So, I really don't know. It's a tough question to answer, and if I think if people knew the answer, then they would have already done something.
Well, I thought they made the rule change back in the 88, the big controversy there with Roy Jones in Seoul, South Korea, and three of the judges had apparently been wine and dined by the South Koreans, and he lost the position of South Korean after he dominated, so they said, let's get the computerized scoring, we have to click the button. That's a big change you can easily, manipulate that, because if I'm a judge, and I'm a judge in the United States, and Danny O'Connor from the United States is playing, if I want him to beat so-and-so from Cuba, I'm not going to see any punch that Cuba lands. my eyes, you had a guy that could technically run. He had three punches in the first round, spent like three rounds on his bicycle. He wins. I was watching the clips of Ray Leonard, Jim Ray, and the Spitz brothers, and all these guys back in the 76 Olympics. And then guys like Melvin Taylor and Van Holyfield, the 84 Olympics. And these are guys going out there, you know, like boxing, like watching TV, a very pro style sport. They outfought themselves.
Pro and seeing all the hard work pay off from the amateurs and all that. I think it's a little bit of a lot of things. You know, the respect and the reputation I get in my community. You know, I'll be going to high school and talking to the other kids, and it's just, you know, it's nice to be supported by gals that love you, guys will recognize you and talk to you for something that you know you've done good. It's a lot of hard work. You know, obviously you guys know there's a lot of hard work that goes into boxing. It's just nice when people take notice of it. And just being able to do what I love, you know. You know, I wake up, I train, I fight, and I can try to get better, you can.
Yeah, it was nice when I was going to college and everything was paid for. And I got to do it on the side and study. But I know it takes a lot of work to do it professionally and to do it for a job and to bring money home. So
a lot of work.
I couldn't even imagine getting myself in shape to do it now. But back in the day when I did it, I came into my only season of competitive boxing, way overweight. You know, I had taken the summer off, and I get down there, and I ended up getting creamed by the guy I had to beat to get to the Nationals. So, and I ended up beating him in the Nationals because I worked hard, and I got through the system. So, you know, it was a hard life lesson. You know, you can't let it slip. You know, even a few months taken off. Look what happened to Tyson against Buster Douglas, you know. You gotta have it all the time. It's always gonna be on your mind, you know. I was very interested. I don't know if you've seen the Tyson documentary yet, but I highly recommend you watch that.
I haven't seen it, but very good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I never knew how much boxing he used to watch. You know, he went back and Customato, I guess, in his attic had tons and tons of footage of all the old fights. Going back decades, and Tyson used to stay up all night and watch those guys, you know, and, you know, here all of us, well, a lot of us probably thought he was just this brute, you know, wasn't that smart, you know, he was just naturally good, but he had to be very smart to realize that he had to study all those tapes and learn that, all the different styles to put that into his fighting.
Yeah, and Rich, one thing I always say about Tyson is,
you know, I'm a winner, he was champion of the world.
when I was know, when I was a young kid. But because my boxer, my mother had fallen out of a police athletic league and training him, and when he brought me down to the gym. And I picked up a pair of glasses.
So, how old were you when that happened?
Well, I was like 14, 15.
So, you picked it up pretty fast then, though.
Yeah.
Nice. And what's your favorite punch?
My favorite punch is jab.
Jab, good answer. That's my favorite punch. Actually, I had a judge come up to me at one point, and it was kind of an unfair fight. I laugh about it today, you know. People must have hated this kid, and Tony fought him before too. But,
I kept the inside info.
he didn't get the memo. But these kids on his team came up to me before the fight, and they tell me, "Listen, you know, we hate this kid. He sucks. And all you gotta do to beat him is you gotta move around in circles and, you know, keep the jab going." So they told me he had his feet cut off when he was born because they were born on the wrong side, like, you know, left foot. Right side, was born on the left side. So he had to have an operation and his feet cut off and reattached to the right side. So they tell me all this stuff, and then, you know, of course, I'm going against him in the first round of Nationals. I don't know why these kids hated this guy so bad. But so I ended up going against him, and sure enough, that nice strategy worked, and he was a very tough kid. He slugged, like, you wouldn't believe, he hit very hard. And when he did connect with me, when I did wade in too close and get too cute, you know, he made me pay. But overall, I just followed their strategy and it worked. So.
Okay, tell me why I think he was not most on the team. And you were going to the University in Nevada Reno. And I had gone out there to punch East West class in about a month and a half before the Nationals. So I get out there and I was supposed to fight this kid by the name of Brian Kerr from Reno. He's a little bit bigger than I was. I was fighting at 185 that year, but I was weighing in, like, you know, 117. When they came to me, they weighed in 178, he was, you know, 185. I said, well, shit, what happened? You know, got, like, 3-4 pounds at the very end, and he beat me. We got out there, and the first thing I saw was, like, when we went to the room to the weigh-in, there was a big article painted on the wall about him overcoming his hardships, which was, you know, his feet had an operation when he was young and all that. So, first of all, when I actually didn't get the problem with feet, I don't put two and two together. I'm going to put my game plan in. I'm going to, you know, use my skills. You know, I'm going to be a little bit taller than I am. He's about 10 feet tall. So I'm going to use my body and do what I normally do. So that point is we're getting ready to go to the ring. You know, it's in his home gym. And one of the people from, one of the students there who had a few drinks, yells at me, the fourth and three, I hope you can die tonight. And that hurt me up in the game, and that thing. I'm in harsh environments. I used to spar at one of our prison facilities. One of our coaches was the athletic director there. He used to get a thing to work in me. Never bothered me. But Vince, I hope you die tonight. He struck a chord with me and pissed me off and hit my game plan of moving in, using my jab, working the body. And now boxing the guy turned in and said, I'm going to knock his head off. And I've been going into a slugfest. He hit the left hook in the first round. And his knee buckled up and this fight's over. I hit him with a shot and he clinched. And the referee broke it. You know, I thought I was going to get the knee count. Did it. And I saw Shane's head and he smiled. Shit. Cut my hand. My best touch. My left foot is gone. I broke my left hand. I could feel the swelling inside the glove. I'm like, fuck. Now I hit a pawn jab and right hand. And I buckle him again with a body shot. And referee, general clutch, referee granted. Now I hit with a right hand at the top. And I'm like, my right hand's going. I walk back to the corner. I'm like, I don't have any hands to hit him with. And I think if Dr.
said I should have got the position, and I did, but I made what could have been an easy hard.
Yeah.
Like, they told me he was stubborn.
The biggest clue, too, was they told me he couldn't move side to side. Not only did they tell him to tell me, you know, he's the jab, but they told me he couldn't move side to side. So that was important, too. And one of the judges came up to me after the fight, and I almost confessed to him. I think I just told him what they did, and I held back. The judge said to me, he's like, you know, it's your jab that won you that fight. No. So, of course, I tried to use my jab in the next fight against Michael Jordan. No joke.
Yeah,
fell with an O. It was a better inside fighter, so he beat me by decision. And, you know, I couldn't stay on the inside. He kept getting inside.
Danny, I want to tell you a funny thing. That if it's Michael Jordan who is not the Michael Jordan, look just like the Michael Jordan. I swear to God. Because I was getting ready to, when we were having, before the regionals, before the nationals, we had boxing shows at a lot of different colleges. So the Lockheed University had our annual boxing show. And Dr. Cox came up to me, I got three pistols on him. You know, I'm like, I don't care who I fight. And this one kid from Navy, this kid from VMI by the name of Rich Bergeron, but, and this kid said, like, Jordan, I'm like, Mike, Jordan. Because he didn't feel like Mike.
It's been a long day, and I'm just tired.
Yeah, I'm Isn't there a Framingham State boxing program or something like that out there? I think I remember hearing that back when I was doing the tour.
There's a Framingham PAL boxing that's actually located in Framingham, but actually in Providence.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I ended up, I actually sparred today, but taking me about an hour and a half to drive home. So I'm going to arrive and get some pretty tired by the time I actually get home.
Well, I don't know, do you want to give anybody a shout out out there or thank anybody?
I'll thank my coach, JP, for calling Johnny. They helped me out a lot, and that's about it. I hope you guys will be able to come to the next fight and meet me in person. That would be cool.
Yeah, definitely. The Roxy is a great place to go for a fight. You know, it's right. I live over here in Abington. And I don't know if I'm ever going to go pro myself, you know, I keep kind of hinting at it, thinking about it, you know, if I could get myself back into shape. I started hitting the bag again. I invented my own little bag that I've got. I'll have to upload some video of me hitting it and get your email address and send it to you, see what you think. It's kind of like, have you ever seen a double end bag, you know, in the gym, the timing bag?
Yeah.
That concept, but a little more of a hybrid. That and the heavy bag. You know, it's got the heavy part for the stomach, and then it's got the little head target up a little higher, with even the neck piece. And it's two bungee cords, you know, going straight up and down. It's like a timing bag. So I have it outside. And I don't know. I think I might have something there. It might be a good thing to patent. It's pretty good. And it hits you back sometimes, even without arms. It hits you off. Yeah, I'll just send that to you. I get a kick out of that. But yeah, I'm right over here in Abington, so very familiar with all the locales here, and been through Framingham a few times. I never had a job there or spent a whole lot of time there, but I know I've been through there and around there quite a bit, growing up in Massachusetts. So
yeah,
it's all,
you know.
You're a hometown kid to me. Brought quite a good crowd there for the Dorchester fight. That was good.
Yeah, and that was only a week notice.
Yeah. Good stuff. But keep doing what you're doing, and someday you'll get a belt, and I'll have you back on to talk about that, probably before that, too. But we'll keep following you.
Sure.
I know we promote you all the time. Bob sends us all your stuff all the time, so that's right. Touch. I'll send you that video.
All right.
you know, like today I'm trying to set up this broadcast thing, you know, playing with like 9 other different things, trying to add people to MySpace, market other stuff, set up this broadcast thing too at the same time. I know, it's pretty cool. I like it. It's a good setup. And, you know, hopefully we'll get that figured out and be on here on the regular. And maybe they'll develop some kind of cool widget too, because I think that's the biggest obstacle that I don't like about it right now. But it does seem like they're brand new. I mean, I sent all this, you know, stuff to their support people, and they were telling me, oh, you know, keep trying. And finally, it worked today. otherwise pronounced in other areas of the world where there's same spelling, but they pronounce it Quincy, like Quincy, Illinois. Up here it's Quincy, the Z, even though it's spelled the same. Like John Quincy Adams, we call him. But anyway, yeah, so, what was I talking about? I don't know. No.
We're talking about,
yeah, so, I don't know what that had to do with Quincy. Anyway, when I was up at, working for the newspaper up in New Hampshire, I used to get to interview a lot of those folks, and, you know, do phone call interviews and stuff, and talk to those folks, and people like Alice Cooper, Greg Allman, the whole band, 311, I got to chill with them backstage. That was cool. They were some of the nicest people I've ever met. And so laid back, and still having a good time. And posing for pictures with everybody. I mean, great people. And then the concert was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen. We talk about, like, Lollapalooza in the little New Hampshire place. I mean, that's what it was like. That was what the atmosphere was like at the 311 concert. It was like an outdoor stadium. I was so lucky. I had the biggest area of the lake up there in the town that I covered. I had the venue with all the artists coming through, and I only got to do it for a couple of years, but I interviewed quite a bit of people. And actually, they got pissed because I was interviewing so many people, taking up too much time promoting this venue. You know, like I was their PR person. But once I figured out, hey, all I have to do is make a phone call to interview famous person, you know, what better thing you do? I even did one for the Globe one time on my own, you know, independently from the newspaper. I did a George Thorogood interview. You know, the guy that did Bad to the Bone.
Cool.
I interviewed him. And very interesting. Yeah. He said something about Satchel Paige said, never look back. You might be scared.
Well, watch your water. Somebody's going to dance your water.
He's actually a Jonas Dead cousin. We forgot to mention that. Not really a Jonas brother.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got off on that tangent, but there's some... That's like all boxing stuff anyway. We got through the boxing stuff. I didn't see anything else on the box rec card that was worth mentioning. But there's a whole lot of MMA stuff going on. Frank Trigg is coming back for UFC, and we just briefly mentioned him earlier with the Frank, the Jose Canseco thing. Wouldn't train him. But Frank Trigg has supposedly signed a 4-fight contract to come back to the UFC. He's done good in his last few fights. He's fought off and on. He's been a commentator. He's done a lot of other stuff, and now he's seriously back in it. I think he's like 35 in the article I read, or 36. And still going, still looking good. And people are already talking about a third fight with him and Matt Hughes. And, you know, I'm such a new fan of the sport, I didn't even know they fought two other times. But that's just me. And then, of course, we have the big UFC event that just happened. Unfortunately, our good buddy, our former guest there, Sean Sherk, did not win. He fought Frankie Edgar in a tough three-round fight. I didn't even get to see the whole thing. I watched a little bit on the replay, but I was in the middle of it, and the feed went dead. Go figure. It was twice in a row. It happened in a Pacquiao fight, and then this week with the UFC. But usually it's never a problem with the UFC, but this week it gave me some crap, so I had to reload everything and bring up the channel on the other device, and finally I got it figured out. I missed two fights, but I did see the first round of the Shirk fight, and from what I understand, the other two rounds weren't much different. I mean, the scoring gave me that impression anyway, but Shirk lost by decision, and apparently he left the venue, like, with his gloves on and everything, just left, and went over to some other hotel or something like that, and he was almost disqualified from getting paid and everything, I guess, because he wasn't available for a piss test afterwards. He had to be. You know, he just bounced. And it was on some obscure MMA site that they wrote this story about it, which isn't really that much of a story at all because he did come back. But I thought that was kind of funny. You know, especially considering Dark Sean Sherk, everybody wants to talk about the steroid thing. We brought it up a little bit, but don't go too deep into it. We'll talk about it, of course. So he just bounced right after the fight, and chances were, or, you know, circumstances where he didn't have to take the test. And, you know, I think maybe it would have been a little different if he had won the fight. I guess they don't care if you lose. But anyway, also, the main event was very interesting. Rashad Evans, who had been undefeated, was brutally knocked out.
I heard.
A crushing hand, right hand. And, you know, everybody was talking about how karate this and karate that, and Rashad was really very tentative to get anywhere close to those kicks, you know, the ranges of the kicks. And Lyoto really didn't throw that many kicks. He didn't have to because, you know, he could just dance around most of the time, and then when it came down to slugging it out, he actually knocked him out with a series of hooks, like straight out of boxing. So, and a couple of them bounced him back up against the cage, and he crumpled to the mat like in a very awkward position. And I saw some pictures of it on one of the sites. I guess this guy took like 130 pictures of him just getting pummeled in that 30-second frame. And there's one where he's hasn't even hit the ground yet, but his you know, knees are out in front of him, and his legs are bent back, and his head is about to hit the cage, and then the shoulders hitting the mat, and he's all bent and contortioned in his position, and eyes are rolled back already in his head, and he's just knocked the fuck but you really have to say that across the board, the best fights on that card were really good, and that was definitely not a disappointment, that fight. And what's resulted from it, unfortunately, is that the guy that probably should have got put up against Rampage Jackson there, Lyoto, it should have been Lyoto and Rampage, because I guess Rampage was confirmed a few days ago as the new Ultimate Fighter Show coach, and this is, I guess it's going to be a second time on it. You know, I see very few people mentioning that, but he was on it before. Now he's going to be doing it again, and he's going to be going against Rashad, even though Rashad lost, but I think that's got to be because of the language barrier and maybe a few other things, and maybe Rampage doesn't want to fight Lyoto. He'd rather fight Evans, so that's going to be interesting. That's going to be the 10th season of the Ultimate Fighter Show, and it's just made official today. That was on MMAopinion.com, which is a very good site. You should check that out. I don't usually plug other sites that don't plug us, but it's a tight little site there. I think I might try to bite their design. I like it. But other than that, events going on, upcoming. Also, of course, we can't forget to mention one of the guys on the main card. We had our guy Matt Hughes here, who's right in front of me, by the way. Matt Hughes, the figurine. Won his fight against Matt Serra, at the mouth Serra there, who had been talking a lot of smack, of course, because his fight has been building up for so damn long, and that rarely keeps his mouth shut, Sarah, that is. He's a crass guy from down there in New Jersey, so he's got the cocky attitude and the accent to match, and man, he's been doing a lot of talking. I was going to whip Matt's ass, and it was a great fight. I mean, don't get me wrong, it wasn't like Matt didn't try to be used up there. But he was just his wrestling to the best ability that he could, and ended up eking out a decision. Got him in a couple tough positions there, and they fought it out. It was a good, great little three-round slugfest at some points. And I thought Matt might get called out, but I think with a lot of the older guys, they get a little bit more leeway. You know, I don't know if you've watched any of these big UFC fights, the main events, just for kicks, you know, when you're out doing the boxing thing, but sometimes you notice when these legends fight, they'll get an extra 10 seconds to recover, whereas a guy who's unheard of maybe won't get that, and we'll just call him out on the spot.
Well, the he gets stung, he's not the fight. We can turn around, I remember a fight with a regular guy, we're fighting for the keyboard. It's about the stock, but he kicked the guy, he did it. He told me, he didn't benefit the doubt that the guy came back. He was a fighter when he lost the last one of his career, against Alfonso Gomez. He went down and was almost broken, just got that fight in. Three rounds before that, but he was still keeping him in the calendar. Got in the ring, he said, no, the fight is over. I will not allow this to be anymore. But you see that, so I remember reading an article now on Ring Magazine, both of them, better than 18 bucks. And I remember his dad, his last fight, he got a cut, and he looked over at the doctor and looked over at the referee, and he said, leave me alone. I'm fine. And normal fight, they may have stopped it, but his dad, he backed off.
Anyway, also, I wanted to mention the UFC Undisputed Game. It's a big hit already. I posted a little thing with Bruce Buffer talking about it today, just to show that I'm not a UFC hater, even though people think I am. I just hate the people behind it, not the organization and the fighters. There's my little, what do they call that, fine print? Anyway, I also want to Fight Night. The new Fight Night is not far behind the UFC Undisputed game. But the Bruce Buffer thing is really good little insight into the game, and it shows Bruce actually fighting one of the UFC fighters in the game. Yeah, it looks good. I saw like 16 screenshots today, and I played the previous ones before, and they're all good. But this one is like super detailed. And a funny story about the Undisputed game, before I get into the fight night, I heard that Clay Guida was supposed to be in it, but because he wouldn't cut his hair, they couldn't put him in it. Because when they were trying to perfect his character in the game, his hair kept getting in the way of strikes. Like they would register strikes to his hair, like even if it was like flapping up in the air. Somebody like hit the tips of his hair, would register the punch. So they couldn't figure out a way around it. And they said he either had to cut his hair or he wouldn't be in the game.
Wow.
So I thought that was kind of funny. But they didn't have any of those problems with the other game there, the Fight Night. And I bet they get some long-haired folks in that. It looks great, though. I haven't seen any of the screenshots of Tyson fighting or any of those, but I guess the demo that's out, it's got Ricky Hatton and Manny Pacquiao in it. And Manny doesn't look as much like Manny as Hatton looks like Hatton. But it's good. It's definitely good. I mean, see all the detail. And I'm definitely going to rent it if not buy it. For the Xbox.
Before I do that, I got to get the job.
That's important. Also, UFC related, they had a little ESPN 360 or whatever they call it, E60 thing on Dana White the other day. And if you go by fightopinion.com, guy there runs our stuff every now and then about my Italian story. But he's over there. Somebody's asking if my father is Phil Bergeron on Facebook over here. No. So, getting off basic. E60 had a big profile on Dana White in the UFC, and of course, got everything wrong. Sucked up. There's a little wave of people now kind of pointing that out. And I kind of, off the cuff, was looking for stuff on a new article I put out on the Pride lawsuit there. The UFC is suing Pride over that whole deal. And went down, and Pride people were countersuing back at them. And I've talked to the actual lawyers for Pride, and they've given me some paperwork. And so I decided to start writing about it. It's another facet of the story that is really pretty interesting if you look at it. It involves a whole other different side of the world, too, where mixed martial arts has become very, very popular. And it kind of seems pretty odd to me that Dana White, being known as this supposed genius and being responsible for all this stuff that he's supposedly responsible for, wouldn't be, keen enough to make inroads over there in Japan. It's a whole other environment. And so, obviously, these Pride guys were pissed off because that was the speculation or the stipulation of the contract that they signed when they sold it, was that they would have to be maintained as a top-tier organization. And the UFC folks couldn't handle it or didn't want to handle it. And, the allegation is that they killed it, which is kind of the same thing that I'm saying happened in science. So, there's a new article on the website. Check that out. And the E60 piece is around, kicking around. And watch that, but take it with a grain of salt. And I was just going to say, there was an article that was written about my story on Canadian potatoes. And I went back to it recently. This guy just went off about how questionable the UFC says, and just personally involved. It was like, whoa. So it's this guy, C.R. Trinity. This was on March 27th, I guess, a while ago. I haven't come back to it for a while, but just reading this article and the way it was written, I can definitely see how these caged potato whores suck us off a dick in order to get some of that dirty Fertitta money. Man, I really wish I could meet the writer of this website. I would beat the absolute shit out of him. Pick him off, dust him off, and beat the shit out of him again. Journalists are prostitutes. Caged potato demonstrates the lowest of the low standards, synonymous with propaganda-style news coverage. Fuck you, caged potato. I will still view this site, but only to see how motherfuckers like the writers in this site still try to maintain an air of integrity when Fertitta cock is firmly shoved up their ass. Fucking amoral pieces of garbage. I hope the children of the writers here grow disgusted with the dishonorable actions of their parents. I've never even read a harsher comment than that before. That is like, wow. Glad to have that guy in my corner, rather than against me. I mean, they're not that critical of me. They actually call me a sharp journalist in the article, but I mean, they're obviously trying to say that there's more to the story, and you know, these guys are being too easy on the Fertittas. And they do. They are pretty critical of me in certain spots. They call me a fool for representing myself, but, I mean, that's just along the lines of a joke, so I'm not going to sue them for slander. Caged potato, interestingly enough, I don't know if I talked about it before, but I remember when the whole Russell Pike founder of Zions thing came about, got busted on tax evasion charges. Caged potato put out a report that was very inaccurate about him, you know, trying to paint the UFC's picture that, hey, you know, it's not our fault, it's about science, it's this guy's. And, you know, that was totally off base. But they're a tongue-in-cheek humor site anyway, so they can get away with it with anybody else, thanks to none other than Larry Flint. Because he's the one that actually set the legal precedent for all that. Parody is more protected than anything else, as far as free speech goes. Anyway, that's off topic here. We only got a few minutes left, so I just want to talk about a couple MMA events. We have up in Ontario, we have the Combative Sandshoe Qualifier Series, event 2 of 5, going on Saturday, May 30th at the Magna Center. And then we also have, on June 11th, Thursday, this is just my stuff on Facebook I'm looking at. We have a Steel Cage Battle of the Texas Titans, and this is Richard Steele's league who's back in action. And I haven't connected with him on it. He's the one that sent me this invitation, so maybe we'll have him on the show again. I think we did a podcast or some kind of interview with him in the past. Actually, I think it was a written. It was a written interview. I interviewed him on the phone and then wrote something on it, but it was way back in the day. And he was just starting that Steel Cage thing. And I know it changed ownership, and maybe now he's got it back, but he's back promoting it, I know, at least. So let's talk to him and see what's going on with that. And that's going on June 11th. Maybe we'll get him on before then, maybe not, but we'll get a hold of him and see what's going on. SteelCageMMA.com is their website. And as far as other events, just check the calendar here. We have King of the Cage Retribution 2 is going on up in Mescalero, New Mexico. If you're in that neck of the woods, Angelo Sanchez versus Donald Sanchez. And I'm looking at the fight poster. It looks like, yeah, they got to be brothers or something related. There's a three-rounder. That's like the main event. And we have Tony Bonello versus Lance Friedenstein and Levi Price versus Chi-Chi Barella. There's three fights listed here on MMA Madness.
Then we have, on the 31st, we have Gladiator Challenge, Put Up or Shut Up, up there in Lakeport, California. And that's Ricky Vardell versus Josh Abbott, and a three-rounder, and Tim Hausler versus Bond LePo, and a three-rounder. And it looks like a whole lot of other guys must be on this card, because there's like 20 dudes on the poster. But those are the other two fights listed here for the 31st. Then on the 1st of June, we have Shoot Boxing 2009 Bushido 3 over in Tokyo, Japan. And we're going to try to get our old buddy, Hella Holly Hearn, back on the show. Unfortunately, I don't know if you're going to want to be up for when we're going to have to record with her. I don't know if you're going to be around or what the difference is, even. But we're going to try to do a recording with her because she's going to be going to UFC 101, I think, or 99. I don't know. She's going to be going to one of the upcoming UFCs over in Germany, whichever that one is. I think it's the next one. And we're going to try to get her on before that.
How many hours ahead of us? Let's see. I mean, she's probably 4 or 5 hours ahead of us. So you figure she won't have to deal with it. I mean, if it's 8 o'clock show, it would be like 12 or 1 at that time, wouldn't it?
I don't know what the difference is.
How long do you find that?
I don't do math, period.
Before we get off the chair, one final thing I gotta tell you, you know, about this. I had a couple friends of mine that were looking for that post-tablet search in World Fight in Atlantic City. And one guy, he did a little bit of training for MMA. Not really any good, but he's got some shit down. He had that all over his car, and he was trying to get people over and watch paper views, and I'll never do it, just bust his balls. So, I called his cousin, who's a very good friend of mine, and I said, listen, I said, it's going to be a challenge, it's going to be, I got $4 or $5 surcharge, and he's thinking, maybe he's going to go, my cousin said he's going to pay surcharges, and if you don't like it, he's going to do that in the rain, and she only wears 4 ounce gloves. I said, you tell him, you don't have to wear any gloves. And so, Pat was like, getting canceled, because he had this hand infection in his hand, which unable to train. Quite technical for that show, and I said, Pablo plays off, people are complaining of the surcharge. That's a joke. And my friend Blake calls it up, he goes, somebody said, hey, because Pablo just can't say that people think about the surcharge. I said, you believe me? He goes, well, a few weeks ago, a friend of this was selling their landscaping business, and he sorted something up on the deal, and someone said, Seltzer shot himself in the foot. You just pulls you in the hospital? What kind of gun did you shoot himself with?
Yeah. Nuts. But, I don't know. What else we got here? What's going on? I don't see any other big thing on the radar here. Well, Strikeforce versus Shield is coming up next week. That's another big one. Robbie Lawler versus Scott Shields. That should be a real good slugfest for MMA. That's about it until next week. We're going to try to get Joe Lazon on the show.
Okay.
I've interviewed him in person, face-to-face, in one of the events I've been to, but I haven't had him on the show yet. And the same guy that brought us Danny O'Connor says you can bring in your Joe Lazon if we need him. So we'll see if we can call that favor in and get that accomplished. Over the next few days, you can look on the site. We're going to have a couple bulletins going on my face. And Facebook, we're going to have some stuff put out there in the next couple days to make sure people vote on the main ring girl contest. It's the last day, the 31st. And I don't know, this thing tracks all the people that fake vote, so don't be cheating, ladies, at the last second. This isn't an eBay bid. we've had a little problem with that. We had to erase a bunch of votes. And looks like, still, though, the top two ladies, last I checked, at least a week ago, or a few days ago anyway, where Traomi and Misty were like neck and neck. And I think I voted for Allison because she has the roundest bosom I've ever seen. But yeah, that's going well. I mean, we don't have that many views on the video, unfortunately. We've got like 300 views on the video, but not really been promoting it all that well either. And we're on track. We've got a few good candidates for this next month, and we're on track to have another good contest. I think we had way too many because we had to, you know, so much other stuff going on, and I had to keep putting it off. Well, I didn't have to, but I kept putting it off. So we had like 3 months worth of contestants this month. So it's hard to pick, and you know, I'd like to have a lot of these ladies back in another month when there's less candidates. You know, we'll replant them in a new contest and give them another shot. Because I had one girl, actually, who was just talking to on Facebook tonight, and she had mentioned something about being in another contest, and I was like, "Oh, have you been in our contest yet?" And she, I sent her the link, and she looked at the page. She goes, "Those girls are hot, though, you know." Like, well, you look pretty good too, you know. You do all right. That's 3 months worth of ladies you gotta consider. So I hope I haven't intimidated anybody by putting too many hot girls in one spot there and not chased the people away from thinking they can compete. But the thing is about our contest, it's not always the girl you expect is gonna win, you know, because it's not always the general crowd that's just gonna make their guess on beauty or their vote on beauty or, you know, basics. You know, sometimes it's popularity and how many people you can reach out to and be like, "Hey, vote for me in this contest over here, you know, if you're one of the lady contestants." So, you gotta think about that when you get into it. Get a whole bunch of people to vote for you, like the one girl who got on the radio station and got like thousands of votes, which was awesome. Good for us. It helps us too if you promote. Like a lot of these girls, look at like 6 votes in the contest. It's like, why are you bothering even, you know, entering? And I always email the girls back and tell them that they're in it. It's not like they should be surprised and not know that they're in it. Well, anyway. A lot of times they give me their last names too, so if they happen to Google themselves one day, and they're going to find it. One girl, she had to come up on a job interview. Somebody to take her pictures down a couple weeks ago. Right. When people Google my name, they know not to sue me. That's what happens.
Yeah, well.
That's the first thing that usually comes up now. I'm stuck to that stigma for the rest of my life. I'm the Zions guy.
Hey, stigma.
Yeah. I'm happy about it. Eventually it will work out in my favor, you know. I was listening to the song that opened us up tonight, and I was thinking, you know, even if I don't get paid, it would be nice to know that the people that I'm going against and all this stuff get paid in the end, you know? Like, I'm not a spiritual person, even though I grew up Catholic and all that, but I just hope that the people that are scumbags in life pay for it when they die. They don't ever pay for it when they live. Yeah. Goes around, comes around. And good things come to those who wait, according to Heinz Ketchup. So.
I hope so.
Yes. Someday. On that note, I'm going to sign out, and we're going to come back at you next week with hopefully Joe Lazon. Stop by the site and check out the updates. We're going to throw at least one more blog up there tonight. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/ZionSucksCom. So we've got the blog hooked up to that too. And we're flogging that like the dead horse that it is, even though it's not. It's like the Kentucky Derby winner. It's so popular. But Tony, you got to get on Twitter.
A little bit.
And,
it's too tall. You know, I said, you know,
off a shitload of his old memorabilia, and it's his third wife, I guess, that's doing it. And it looks like a lot of good shit.
Rock?
No, Ted Williams' third wife. They got widgets. You broadcast does not have widgets yet, and you better believe them. They email their support people and be like, "Hey, you got a great system, but you need widgets. You need to widgetize." That's what works on the blogs. People like that little player everywhere. And that's all I got. And next week we're gonna try to have Joe's on here and.